This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at a great new kind of bigotry that seems to be rearing its very ugly head. And yes, it can be ugly. I remember that news story from a while ago where the now newly elected governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was trying to have dinner with her family and they wouldn't be served because they were part of the Trump administration at the time. Is it legitimate to treat people differently because of their political orientation, to discriminate against conservatives, or for that matter, to discriminate against people on the left based on political alignment? This is raised by a fascinating story that is told in a very important column by Ingrid Jacq. Ingrid Jacq is a graduate of Hillsdale College, I should mention firsthand, given our show's a deep connection with Hillsdale College. Ingrid, our producer, Jeremy Steiner, was a pride, not only the pride of Hillsdale College, he was student body president once by the time, but she has worked as the deputy editorial page editor at the Detroit News. She is now a regular columnist for USA Today starting in May of this year. She has a new piece headlined "Inclusive Restaurant Turns Away Christian Group. Who is the real bigot?" Ingrid, thanks very much for joining us on the Medved Show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate it. You write about a noble institution called the Metzger Bar and Butchery in Richmond, Virginia. Doesn't sound like a place for vegetarians, but it canceled a reservation from the nonprofit Family Foundation just an hour and a half before its scheduled dessert reception with supporters. Now, they had scheduled a big dessert reception with reporters. The entire thing got canceled. What had they done wrong?
The big mission was essentially the work that they do, much like the name suggests. Traditional marriage are pro-life, and their whole purpose is to advocate for those principles and those endeavors. And apparently some employees at the Metzger restaurant had found out more about the Family Foundation and the work that they do shortly before the scheduled reservation, and made it clear to the owners that they didn't want anything to do with serving them, because apparently it meant at the establishment identifies LGBTQ and didn't agree with the Family Foundation's stance on abortion as well. So they essentially refused to serve this group. And so they had the reservation was canceled. So the Family Foundation had to, you know, had a last minute find somewhere else to go. So it just struck me as very hypocritical behavior on the part of the Metzger employees, especially given all these other conversations we're having. And just a few days later, the Supreme Court heard the 303 creative case, which is a similar issue in a lot of ways. And I don't know if you want to delve into that, but that's essentially what happened.
I want to get over to that for a moment. But the amazing thing here is that according to your column, the LGBTQ workers, and this is not an exclusively LGBTQ organization, the Metzger Bar and Butchery. It's one that has some people who work there who said they would have felt unsafe serving food to the Family Foundation and the grounds for them feeling unsafe? Did they feel that people from the Family Foundation would rise up out of their seats with guns or knives or something to harm them? What was it, if anyone has bothered to ask the question, that actually made the gay and lesbian and transgendered employees feel unsafe about the mere presence of a Christian organization?
Well, I mean, that's an excellent question, and there really hasn't been a great response. The restaurant has only, they only responded publicly with an Instagram post that essentially explained that the employees would feel unsafe. The restaurant used that word if this group was to hold their very scary dessert reception. So I think what made the employees feel unsafe was just merely the ideas and the principles that the Family Foundation holds. I mean, they were not going to this restaurant to hold some sort of protest about the employees who worked there. I really don't think they had any plans to proselytize or anything. I mean, this was just a dessert reception to, you know, to discuss goals and discuss the year with their supporters. So it just seems very over the top to try to claim that this group would have made restaurant employees feel unsafe.
Well, or to be unsafe. I mean, who knows? The restaurant employees feel unsafe all the time, right? The question that's fascinating here is you bring up the case of the 303 case in Colorado of Lori Smith, who is a website designer who didn't choose to. She did business all the time with gay and lesbian and transgendered people, but she didn't see fit to do a web design for a same-sex wedding. The interesting thing about this would be, can we imagine for a moment that this was a gay and lesbian group and then some employees at another restaurant, very different restaurant, would have said, we don't want that gay and lesbian organization at our restaurant? Do you think that there would be the general acceptance that it's their choice that there appears to be in this case?
Absolutely not. And that's part of why I felt it was important to write this column, because I really do see a double standard here. You know, it's just in our society right now, it's just kind of accepted that if this restaurant with many in the LGBT community declined service to a Christian group, people to think, okay, that's fine. But then just a few days later, we have a very different kind of case before the Supreme Court. But I do believe there are some important differences with the two cases, with a restaurant denying just basic service to a group because of their faith, because of their work. But then on the other side, you have these creative professionals like Lori Smith, the website designer, like Jack Phillips, the Colorado baker, whose case went to the Supreme Court a few years ago. And these are creative professionals who really believe that the government is compelling their speech to basically force them to create a cake or design a website, which is very clearly pure speech. And to express a message about a ceremony, a religious ceremony in their view, a wedding ceremony, that goes against their beliefs. And like you mentioned, both Jack Phillips and Lori Smith, their business is open to everyone. And they'd have no problem designing a birthday cake for anyone, regardless of how they identify. But This ceremony is very different to them. And what's scary to me is when the government, in this case the state of Colorado, was behind both the Jack Phillips and Roy Smith case, you know, when the government is trying to say that, no, you have to express this message regardless of what you believe.
The question that I wanted to ask, and we will get to this in a moment, speaking with Ingrid Jacques of USA Today, the question I wanted to ask is, what should the government response be to a situation like this where they won't serve people based upon their religious and political points of view?
How long should kids have to stay in a dangerous or failing school? In Washington, thousands of kids are assigned to chronically failing schools because they live in the wrong zip code. Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. If your child is stuck in a school that isn't helping them fulfill their full potential, shouldn't you have the right to find the educational environment that can? The purpose of public education is to educate children, not to maintain a specific delivery system. Go to fundstudentsfirst.com. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, Medhead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, the Metzger Bar and Butchery in Richmond, Virginia, is what can only be called a public accommodation. And I mention that phrase in particular because the most important civil rights bill in American history was the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, which indicated that public accommodations, institutions like restaurants or hotels or even retail stores could not discriminate against customers based upon their race. And the Civil Rights Bill has been expanded and based upon that groundbreaking position in 1964. It's been expanded to include protections to people for religious beliefs. You're not allowed to discriminate against customers based upon their religious beliefs. It seems like this restaurant in Richmond, Virginia, that was written about by Ingrid Jacques of USA Today, who joins us, it seems like this restaurant could be held guilty, at least to according to some arguments, at religious discrimination, because the Family Foundation that they refused to serve a dessert reception for is actually expressing some of its deeply held religious views. Has this come up as a possibility? Have you spoken, Ingrid, to the Family Foundation about whether they are going to take any kind of either legal action or further protest against the Metzger Bar and Butchery?
I don't think they are planning right now to pursue legal action, but they definitely wanted to get the word out that this happened. Victoria Cobb, the president of the Family Foundation, put out a very well-written post on their website and just pointing out the hypocrisy that she felt was there. And you're very much right. This is, I think you can't get much more grounded in what is a public accommodation than a restaurant. And another reason I wanted to write this column is because when I write about people like Lori Smith or Jack Phillips, the argument I hear the most from the other side is, well, if you allow them to say they are not going to do this work, you know, before a same-sex wedding, then, you know, it's just a slippery slope that pretty soon a Christian restaurant owner or whatever will start denying basic service to an LGBTQ group or individual. So then when it's flipped and it's, you know, restaurant with a lot of LGBTQ employees that's denying service to the Christian group, it's just, I thought it was important to point that out, because, you know, they're doing what they say they're afraid of happening, but isn't. I mean, I think if, say, Lori Smith had a restaurant and she refused to serve a gay couple just because she didn't want to, I think that would be wrong, too.
That would also be illegal. I mean,
right,
yeah, in most states, it would be illegal.
But yet, don't see the ACLU coming to the defense of the Family Foundation. they're trying to offer some twisted response of how it's not the same, because a Family Foundation is a group; it's not an individual. I don't know. The individuals who are there were denied service because of what they believe and the religious work that they do. So I think that definitely would apply.
See, the one thing that I know that there are a lot of people who are hearing this conversation right now who are thinking, look, this whole thing is ridiculous on all sides, is, let's face it, we're a divided country on certain issues, including issues like LGBTQ rights and certainly the human life issue, the abortion issue, and the extent to which abortion should be regulated, if at all, that we're such a divided divided country that it's understandable that people working in a liberal-oriented, quote, inclusive restaurant wouldn't want anything to do with people on the right side of things, or people on the right side of things who are running a restaurant or any kind of institution, a website design service, really would not want to deal with people who disagree with them. The difficulty with that, it seems to me, is at a time when people say to pollsters time and time again, we want to bring the country together. How do you bring the country together if you can't even sit down at meals together at the same institutions? I don't get it.
That's a very good question, and that's one I've thought a lot about as well. I think we're becoming so increasingly fractured as a society, and I think most people recognize it and they don't necessarily like it, but then at the same time they're not willing to reach out and hear a different point of view, or really give someone the time to explain where they're coming from. And when more of these stories start coming out, being denied basic services just because you have Christian beliefs, I think that's just going to further deepen those divides.
Yeah, and this, by the way, goes back to, I remember during the campaign of 2016, there were several cases where there were people running food establishments in New York City who asked patrons to take off MAGA hats if they came in wearing MAGA hats. And the excuse that turned up after even some legal issues were brought was that, well, the presence of MAGA hats in an institution that heavily caters to people not associated with support for President Trump, that would have actually been a provocation to violence. What's so sad about all of this is that you'd like to say that, well, people should be allowed to patronize, to associate with, to actually enjoy the company of people they choose to enjoy the company with. But once you start going down the road of civil rights protections in terms of freedom of association, that takes a second seat to some basic human rights. Does this suggest to you that some of those people, and I've always denied this because I don't think it's true, there are people in the country now who think that right now the real victims of prejudice are people of faith, not based upon race or religion or anything else. But that, of course, is a huge problem, and it deserves further discussion. Ingrid Jacques' column in USA Today, under the headline "Inclusive Restaurant Turns Away Christian Group: Who Is the Real Bigot?" And it's an important perspective, and one that's fairly novel. Speaking of novel perspectives that are desperately necessary, particularly this holiday season, what about perspective on the origins of the universe? We'll be back with Dr. Steve Meyer on the Michael Medved Show.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Rich Johnson. Another student loan case may be heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's agreed to hear a second challenge to President Biden's debt relief program. This one from two people who were denied relief and say they did not have an opportunity to comment. First, the court will hear arguments on standing, whether they have the legal right to bring that case. As usual, your holiday drive will be a crowded one.
We're expecting about 102 million Americans are going to drive for the upcoming holiday season.
AAA's Ellen Edmonds says that's how many of us will drive at least 50 miles between just before Christmas and just after New Year's, about 2% more than last year. Just about all of us around the U.S. are enduring some serious winter weather. One system's dumped several feet of snow in the western mountains. It forced the closure of a big stretch of Interstate 80 in Northern California, and it continues to march east. This is USA Radio News.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word BIMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Portions of the Michael Mendez Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
And on the Michael Mendez Show, it is always a pleasure and an enlightening experience to speak to Steve Meyer, who is the head of the Center for Science and Culture in the Discovery Institute based here in Seattle. And speaking of discoveries, there have been major discoveries by the James Webb Telescope, which are causing scientists to rethink the origins of the cosmos. And I understand that for religious believers, there's some sense that the world was created. For people who question the idea of a created universe, you got big questions about where it comes from, and now, after a consensus of many years, I find out by reading Steve's Meyer's new piece. It's published in the Daily Wire. It's about the scientists rethinking galaxy formation, and basically the origins of the universe. Steve, what exactly is going on?
Well, thanks for having me on. I know we talked about this before, but there's so many interesting developments. It's great to be back to discuss it again. There was an article in a British journal for arts and humanities by a kind of independent physics researcher named Eric Lerner. And Lerner reported that there were some discoveries that he said were challenging the Big Bang and showing that it never happened. In fact, he wrote a book. He's been a skeptic about the Big Bang since 1991. The story about this caught on like wildfire in the blogosphere and in the social media and to some extent even in the mainstream press. I'm getting asked about it everywhere I go. The short story is that what has been discovered by the James Webb Telescope does not challenge the Big Bang theory, but it might challenge some of our ideas about how galaxies form. But Lerner presented this to the wider press as if it were the discoveries that the James Webb Telescope made about the number of galaxies that were present very early in the history of the universe. He presented that evidence as if it were a challenge to the Big Bang theory. And so there's been, because the Big Bang theory is so foundational to our understanding of cosmology and where the universe came from, and it does seem to have very clear theistic implications, there's been a huge amount of attention around this one rather obscure article from a rather obscure independent researcher.
Okay, let's just clarify so that everybody understands. The essential idea of the Big Bang theory is not that there was an actual sound or even what you would call an explosion. It's basically that the universe as we know it started off in a very small amount of matter and then grew over the course of billions of years from that small beginning. Is that basically...
Yeah, exactly. It's the idea. Actually, even more radically, it affirms that the universe began a finite time ago, the material universe of matter, space, time, and energy, as best we can tell, had a beginning a finite time ago. Now, a very long time ago, probably 13.8 billion years is the accepted date, but that it began... when the universe began, time and space began with it, and then the universe has since expanded outward in a roughly spherically symmetric way, like you could envision a balloon being blown up. And so the idea that the universe had a beginning has really troubled and perplexed many scientists, because if you want to think about the origin of matter itself, it becomes very difficult to give a materialistic explanation for the origin of matter, because before there was matter, there was no matter to do the causing. So you have this puzzle where you can really only go back so far in providing a physical or materialistic cause. And that has suggested a kind of convergence with the classical theistic or even biblical account of things. After all, the first words of the Bible are in the beginning. There is the affirmation that there was a beginning. So this has been one of those scientific discoveries which, against all expectations coming out of the 19th century, has actually confirmed a broadly theistic view of things, not a materialistic view of things, if we're talking as far as worldviews, but rather a more theistic view where the best explanation for the origin of the universe would seem to require something like some entity that transcends space and time and which is itself not material.
Okay. I think one of the questions that there are people out there who would want to ask would be, if you have a theory that says that before the Big Bang, before the creation of matter and time and the universe, there was nothing. Even in the biblical account, it says in the book of Genesis, there was tohu vavohu, the earth was formless and void. And how do you prove that nothing existed if nothing existed?
Well, the implication of a beginning flows from three separate lines of evidence, at least. The first is that the universe in the present day is expanding outward in all directions. And we know about this from the light coming from the distant galaxies. And this will get us into the discussion of what the James Webb is detecting. The light coming from very distant galaxies is being stretched out. And the way astronomers detect that is they realize that the wavelengths of the light are longer than they should otherwise be if those distant galaxies were stationary in relation to us. If a train whistle recedes from us, the pitch of the sound will drop, and that's because the sound waves are being stretched out. Well, light does a similar thing, and if it's stretched towards the red end of the visible light spectrum, where red light is long wavelength and violet is shorter, then the scientists are able to detect upon analysis the movement away of the galaxies. But in light of that evidence, in light of Einstein's theory of general relativity, which suggests that space and time are connected, suggests that the universe is not just that the light or the galaxies are moving away into a static space, but rather space is expanding and causing that expansion as it goes. And so you have this idea of the universe expanding. Now, if you back that up in your mind's eye, at any point in the past, as you go progressively back further and further, the matter of the universe would get closer and closer and closer together until finally it would converge on a point marking the beginning of the expansion and arguably the beginning of the universe and arguably the beginning of the universe because you can't back extrapolate any further than that. Now, there's a parallel development in theoretical physics that is a consequence also of Einstein's theory of general relativity. And this was worked out in the 1960s by Stephen Hawking. And that is something called the singularity theorem. And it's the idea that as the universe is the idea that in the forward direction of the time, the universe is expanding and the matter is getting more and more diffuse. But in the reverse direction, the matter would become more and more concentrated. Now, according to Einstein's theory of general relativity, massive bodies actually curve the fabric of space. And so as you go further back in time, the curvature of space gets tighter and tighter and tighter until you finally reach a limiting case where the curvature of space goes to an infinite value, which corresponds to zero spatial volume, and that's the singularity, the beginning point. There's a third line of evidence or a third proof from physics based on special relativity that also affirms a beginning. So you have this very strange convergence of multiple lines of evidence pointing to the fact of the beginning to the universe, which was completely unexpected in the late 19th century. And it's been a very troubling and disturbing thing for many physicists. Einstein didn't like it. It took him a long time to come around to it. Sir Arthur Eddington said that he found the idea of the Big Bang preposterous. It leaves him cold, he said. Great British astrophysicist. But people have come around to it because the evidence supports it.
But what does the evidence mean in practical terms? Yes, philosophically, it's very important. But how does this increase our scientific understanding of the world around us? With new revelations from the James Webb Space Telescope, Steve Meyer. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach. Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. My kid brother Harry recently unearthed an old photograph showing me as a baby, held proudly by my great-grandfather Samuel Idstein. He was close to 90 at the time, having left Germany with his family just before World War II. Now, neither he nor his six children ever attended college, but all of his grandchildren did, becoming educators, research scientists, doctors, and rabbis. America made the difference. And this story is typical, not exceptional. Countless immigrant families have built lives their ancestors could have scarcely imagined. Here, a great-granddaughter of a slave can win a Nobel Prize, or the grandson of an illiterate railroad worker can become a CEO. Rather than despairing over recent history, we should review family history that reminds us we live in a land of miracles that deserves our protection through exercising our precious right to vote. I'm Michael Medved.
Big Bang Theory affirms that the universe is constantly expanding, and your minds are constantly expanding when you're in conversation with Steve Meyer. Dr. Meyer received his PhD in the philosophy of science from the University of Cambridge. He's a former geophysicist and college professor who is director of the Center for Science and Culture at the Discovery Institute. His best-selling books include Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design, and most recently, The God Hypothesis, The Return of the God Hypothesis, which has been a best-seller and a mind expander as well. Time magazine just had a little piece about the James Webb telescope making its first significant scientific discovery, they say.
First comes the art, then comes the science, they write, just over a week after NASA dazzled the world with the first clutch of images from the James Webb Space Telescope. Astronomers working with one of the pictures believe they found the oldest galaxy ever imagined. A galaxy dating back 13.5 billion years, or just 300 million years after the Big Bang. That is reported by Space.com and others. What does it mean to be able to glimpse a galaxy from 13.5 billion years ago?
Yeah, this is a really exciting thing about the technology that NASA has developed here, and also our understanding of this expanding universe. If you think about trying to look at something very, very, very far away, you have to realize you're looking out into the night sky. The light coming from that object is going to take time to get to you. So if something is billions and billions and billions of light years away, it's going to be billions and billions of you're going to be getting a look at it. You're going to be seeing it as it looked billions and billions of years ago. This is called look back time. So what the James Webb did was it developed, it was largely based on the idea of the expanding universe and the Big Bang theory. It realized that if our universe is expanding outward in the forward direction of time, then the galaxies that are very far away from us are going to be sending us light that is stretched out, redshifted. But it's going to be stretched out so much because the light has had so long to travel since those galaxies formed until before it gets to us, that the light is going to be, and the universe would have been expanding so much during that time, that the light will be uber redshifted. It will be stretched out of the visible range of red to violet and into the invisible infrared range of light. Now, detecting that light turns out to be technically very difficult because if we put a telescope up even into space, the warmth or the heat from that telescope is going to emit infrared radiation, which will interfere with the ability to detect the radiation that NASA wanted to collect. And so what the NASA engineers had to do was super cool the telescope down to just a few degrees, especially the most important components, down to just a few degrees above absolute zero. And then that eliminated the potential interfering radiation coming from the instrument itself. Now, what's happened is that they have actually been able, in looking very, very far back in time and very, very far away, to detect galaxies in their infancy, just a few hundred million years after the Big Bang. And that's the exciting thing. They've been able to image galaxies that old. The surprising thing was that there were more of them than they expected, and that's why this Eric Lerner, the independent physics researcher, said, "Oh, this is upsetting all of our ideas about the Big Bang." But it wasn't. It possibly upset some ideas about how long it takes galaxies to form. But the very fact that we were able to image galaxies that old meant that what we were getting was very highly redshifted light, uber redshifted light that was very stretched out, because the telescope was designed to detect light coming or electromagnetic radiation coming in the infrared range. The very fact that they were able to image galaxies from radiation of that very long wavelength kind shows that we were getting exactly the kind of radiation we should expect to get if the Big Bang theory and the expanding universe were true. So the very fact that we're talking about these galaxies that old is a confirmation of the expanding universe, and with it, the Big Bang theory based on it. So the reports of the demise of the Big Bang theory have been greatly exaggerated, but there are some puzzles, and they have to do with galaxy formation. And, of course, there's just the excitement of being able to see a galaxy in the very infancy of the universe.
And when you talk about the very infancy of the universe, we're not talking about years of a human infancy, which would be, we're talking about 300 million years.
Yeah, just a very young little galaxy. But
right. Okay. In terms of all of this, there's such a deep public fascination, and it goes to, I think, people's spiritual beliefs, their whole belief in the nature of matter and the universe and reality. The distance of some of these galaxies probably mean that if life existed on them at any time, that the ability to communicate over the course of literally billions of light years is probably non-existent, right?
Well, it's hard to get your mind around that problem. I'd probably say so. I mean, one of the things to keep in mind with this is that even 100 years ago, in 1920, at the Smithsonian, they had what was then called the Great Debate. And it was a debate between astronomers who thought that our Milky Way galaxy was the only galaxy, and that there might be other galaxies beyond in what were then thought to be nebular structures. Some people thought they were clouds of gas around individual stars. Well, those nebular structures themselves turned out to be galaxies. And in the ensuing 100 years, we've learned that there's not just one or two other galaxies beyond the Milky Way, but we live in a vast universe that contains at least 200 billion, and the more recent estimates are probably about 2 trillion galaxies. Now, galaxies contain multiple star systems and solar systems. I mean, it's just an absolutely immense universe. So when you go out and look at the night sky, and you see a point of light, it might be a separate star, but it might be a galaxy. And that there are hundreds of billions of them. It's just literally mind-blowing to realize that we're in this ever-expanding universe that is so vast, and yet here we are on this planetary system with a beautiful planet with lots of water, just the right distance from a host star, just the right axial tilt, everything finely tuned to allow for life. It's quite an extraordinary ride we're on planet Earth.
Well, again, in terms of people figuring out some of this immensity, this does relate directly to what you write about in the Return of the God hypothesis.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I focus on three key discoveries of the last 100 years. The first is the one we've been talking about, the universe had a beginning. That was unexpected. It challenged philosophical materialism. It suggested that the need for a transcendent cause of some kind to bring the physical universe into existence, some cause that was not bound by matter, but also that the universe has been finely tuned for life from the beginning, and that life contains digital information that points to some sort of master programmer. So those three discoveries, I think, are bringing back a theistic view of the natural sciences, what I call the Return of the God hypothesis.
Fascinating material posted at our website, the most recent piece in the Daily Wire, and more from Steve Meyer, who is an ornament and a stimulant in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Oscar winners Olivia Colman and Colin Firth co-star in the latest from writer-director Sam Mendes about lost souls trying to repair their broken lives in an English coastal town in the 1980s, where they work together in a grand old fading movie palace that represents an empire of light, now playing in theaters.
Look around you. This whole place is for people who want to escape.
Do you feel a bit calm, I suppose?
Here's to the future. Here's to getting back up. And here's to coming home.
That's an exciting new actor named Michael Ward, who joins the staff of the theater and highlights some of the racial tensions of Britain in the 1980s. The characterizations are deeply sympathetic without minimizing the sad flaws of the people portrayed. This atmospheric effort by a gifted director won't leave you inspired, but it's impossible not to be touched. Rated R, 2.5 stars for Empire of Light.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.